greet you in Jesus' name. Whosoever will may come. Thank you, brothers, for what you've shared and everybody that's picked songs this morning. It's been ministering to my heart. Our affection, pressing toward the mark. Are we still desiring that this morning as brothers and sisters, to press, to push into what God wants to do in my heart, in my life, so that my affection can be on Him? This morning, I'm going to read a story. I've been reading quite a few stories in the Martyr's Mirror. And it's good for me to realize what people have done before and how much they have paid, but yet how similar it is still today for the truth of God's Word. Around 495 years ago, George Steinmetz was apprehended and beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ. At Portzen in Germany, he left the following admonition for consolation in suffering to all believers. We sincerely thank Thee, O God, for Thy fatherly faithfulness. No one ought to mock at or despise His grace, lest at last, when His departure is at hand, He regret it. O Lord, help and assist us through Jesus Christ. God has called many to His eternal light, whom He also visits with suffering and pain, as we see in this earth. For it seems that here we must be refined by the fire of affliction, since we must all enter through much tribulation into the kingdom of God and be purified from all sin and vice. 1 Peter 1:7 and Acts 14:2. For he that hereby follows Christ walks in the true path. Christ says, I am the way and the door, the truth and life. Enter in by me. Before me there is yet a hedge, the cross, which each who would come to the Father must carry. Stands in the way, John 10:9. And according to my experience, I must state the truth, that the cross appears much heavier than it really is, which deters many a one, as though he should not be able to bear it, and hence would pass it by and seek another way. But we cannot come to God unless we bear the yoke of Christ. Matthew 11:29. For he that would enter in by any other way into the sheepfold than through this door, the same is a thief and a murderer. John 10:1. And shall have to suffer the vengeance of God, everlasting pain. Christ would have such disciples as bear the cross after him, follow him in all his ways, as I hope to show, and carry his yoke unto the end. Matthew 16:24. But he that will not bear his cross, but allows himself to be moved and hindered by Satan, may take heed that Christ says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32-33. O God, sustain us to thy praise and honor, that love may not wax cold in us. Matthew 24:12. To this end, give us strength, wisdom, and understanding through thy Holy Spirit, who can guide us into all truth, John 16:13, that we may never despond, but keep good courage and remain steadfast and proceed straight on in the narrow way, and at the risk of body life, go on through Christ to the Father. John 14:6, praise be the Lord our God, who has called us to be his servants and children. Him we will constantly praise forever and ever, because we may wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. And afterwards, from this brief death and suffering, go into everlasting joy with him. With this mind, this witness of Jesus Christ was beheaded and died, as stated above. That is not my message, but I was moved when I read that this week again. Just the reality that what people have paid and were willing to pay the price. And we hear it so often. The teachings that we're hearing are those teachings. And to encourage us all, let's press in. Let's set our affection on things above, not on the earth. I need that reminder. Why don't we all who can, let's kneel for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given us again this morning, life and breath. Father, we thank you for your salvation that you have given, for your word that we have so richly among us, that we would not take this for granted, but that we would ever follow you. Lord, that we would be again reminded and purged from the things of this earth as we have been reminded already this morning. Father, we praise you. We ask for your anointing, for your spirit to move and continue to move. Lord, we commit this day into your care. We thank you for every brother and sister here. Pray that you would call us all and direct us all through your love and your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can turn your Bibles to Isaiah 40, verse 28. Who desires for your strength to be renewed? Who likes if the Lord comes to your help, to your aid, and renews your strength? Isn't that what we all desire? That we again, day by day, be renewed with his strength. If we look here at Isaiah 40, verse 28, or starting in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Then verse 30, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Then I'd like to look at verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It always inspires me when I find verses that directly point to the salvation plan that God had way back here through the prophets. And in Acts, the disciples often went back to what the prophets shared and brought out the salvation plan. But they that wait upon the Lord, And if you look in verse 28, the Lord does not faint and he's not weary. But in verse 30, we see that the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall. But then it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. 2 weeks ago, we were up at Faith Christian Fellowship, and I ended the message on this verse, and it kept coming back to me these last 2 weeks. So that's where I'm beginning this morning. And if the Lord will, I might actually do more messages from this renewing of their strength, waiting upon the Lord. How do we wait upon the Lord? The more I studied, the more you could go many different ways in how do we wait upon the Lord. What are ways that we can wait upon the Lord? The meaning, to attend to or serve God, to be in a state of readiness for his service or worship, and to trust in his guidance and provision. And I also looked up just the word wait, which is as to be within call, to be in a state of readiness. And if I look at all of you, and every brother and sister here is in a state of readiness, waiting upon the Lord, how does that look this morning? We're all in a state of readiness for the Lord to guide us, for the Lord to direct us. I don't know where your mind goes when you think of a state of readiness for the Lord. If you are inspired with a thought that would be helpful, feel free to raise your hand and share it. What comes to your mind? I had something come to my mind. As a state of readiness, I thought of volunteer firefighters or EMS. They are on call. They're ready as soon as the call comes to get there as quickly as they can. But then I had to ask myself, is that how I am towards my God? Ready at his call. When he says, I want you to do this or do that or move here or purge this from your life, that I'm quick to do that. To be within call, not away somewhere, not plucked, how Judah has shown us that if we have things in our life, it is a pluck. We can hear the voice of God. The Hebrew meaning for wait upon is more descriptive. Means to actively, with anticipation, hopefully watching for God to act. There's a lot said in those couple words. Actively, with anticipation, hopefully watching for God to act. Yesterday when I was at home preparing, and my wife and children were up at the music classes, that's how I was when it came around 4 o'clock, 4:30. I was hopefully anticipating that they would come in the driveway. And that is how God wants us to be, in a state of readiness and actively watching. Because he is coming, but he actually wants to work today, here. He wants to work throughout this week. And I want to encourage everyone that has been working. God bless you for working this week, what you have labored, what you have done. We're reading through 2 Kings as a family right now in our family devotions, and it stood out again how God spoke to the prophets at the right times, and they were usually the prophets of the Lord. They were this example of being ready, being there. When God spoke, they were at the place they needed to be at the right time for the right purpose. So what I'd like to talk about today, that I was inspired and for me to grow in and be reminded again, was the state of prayer. As we look at being in a state of being ready for God to call on us. So if you turn to Luke 18, we'll have a couple verses there. We're actually going to read a few verses. Luke 18, starting in verse 1. A parable of Jesus. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And that's just a carnal state for a man to, I'm going to do this thing so she doesn't weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, then he asks the question, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find you and me being faithful? Will he find me watching and walking by faith? Always in prayer. That phrase, always, we're going to read a couple more verses that phrase is in there, or always praying, or praying always. How does that look today in our lives? If we're praying always, because we know that God wants to speak to us. God wants to be a channel, us to be a channel so he can talk to us, and we move according. But how does that look today? Praying always. Luke 21, a couple chapters later, in verse 34, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. And if you read the whole chapter of Luke 21, which we won't, but it's very similar to Matthew 24 of the end times, of what is coming, of things that will happen before the end comes. But he says, and take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Let's not be overcharged with the cares of this life. And I'd like to encourage all of us, that can be a challenge, that we're so busy. We have so many things to do and so many decisions and choices that we make. But I think it's good for us to pause and in the quiet moments ask God for wisdom and direction for that, so that we aren't drunken with the cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. It's speaking about the end when he will come. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And just reading that, I would encourage all of you to go home and read the rest of the chapter before this. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape. What do we need to escape? What do we want to escape? And there's a lot of things here that would be very troubling to us if we don't escape this. But we need to be in a state of watching always, praying always. Watch therefore and pray always. How can we be in a state of always praying? What if something happens and my flesh responds, and then later I'm like, I'm sorry. And often I'm reminded that I didn't turn to prayer right away. And I think if something does come up, or we face a situation, and the first thing we do is bow for a word of prayer, or pause and silently ask the Lord to be with us, and we're instantly doing that, if we face an accident or anything, that will probably be the first thing that comes out, rather than, what did I do? But we'll be asking the Lord to help us in that. I'm challenged in those things. Ephesians 6 is the next scripture. Where it's speaking about the whole armor of God, putting it on. We're going to look at verse 18. There it comes again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So if we're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and I like how it ends here, supplication for all saints. So there again, when we hear that what our brothers and sisters are facing here and abroad, and we're instant in prayer, we're always praying, God will bring things and people to our lives that we can pray for throughout the day. And Paul was writing this to the Ephesians, but if you look over in Philippians 1, the next chapter, or this Ephesians 6 is the last chapter of Ephesians, and then it goes to Philippians 1 verse 4 says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. And if he was also the one that wrote this supplication for giving supplication for all saints. And then he starts in writing to the Philippians. Always in every prayer of mine. And I was challenged. Do I always in every prayer of mine pray for you all? Always in every prayer of mine. That's a full-time job. But Paul was doing it. It says he does it. Paul did it. He was always praying for the saints. But what can happen if we are in that state of mind? If our mind is, if things do turn up different from the way that we thought they should, are we instant in prayer? Are we seeking God? Is our heart yielded so that He can actually move and do those things that He desires to do in me? Exodus 32, Moses, here Moses was actually, the children of Israel had turned so wickedly that God said, Moses, step aside. I'm going to wipe him away, and I'll bring a generation from you that will serve me. But what did Moses do? Moses didn't say, get rid of him. But he besought the Lord. And that action word fits right into the meaning of wait upon the Lord. Moses besought. How did he seek the Lord? He besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why doest thou thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power? He reminded God what he had done with these very people, and with a mighty hand he drew them out. And a couple verses later, there's a verse that says, and the Lord repented. And that's an action word that fits right in there too. Of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. It's hard for me to imagine that the Lord actually changed his mind. If he would say, stand back, I'm going to destroy so-and-so city. And we would, what would we do? Would we be seek the Lord and say, Lord, please, you have a plan for these people. That's the burden that Moses had, and he besought his Lord. He besought his God, and God answered. Jeremiah 35, verse 15. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets. So here he's bringing out God was speaking through the prophets, his plan of salvation. Rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way and amend. Turn from your evil way and amend your doings. He was speaking through Jeremiah the prophet here. And go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. So God's heart was still to bring the children of Israel to a place. There were people there that they had to obey God and actually destroy those people so that they can dwell there. But God had that plan for them. But what did they do? It actually shares here what they did. But ye have not inclined your ear. Ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. So the Lord punished them because they did not turn to him. If we think back where Moses actually besought the Lord, but here the people didn't say, they didn't turn to God and actually incline their ear. They actually turned their ear from what God was saying. In Psalm 27, David prayed in verse 4, One thing have I desired of the Lord. What was that one thing that David desired of the Lord? That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David's heart was that he would inquire in God's temple, that he would know God's heart. Matthew 14, there's another verse, verse 36, where the word besought comes in a little different form than what it did for Moses. But Jesus was in that country and healing people, and the disciples went and shared the whole thing abroad. That this man is healing people. And the people besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. This was that widow. She besought him. She did something about it. She took action. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So it wasn't only this widow. It was as many as touched the hem of his garment were made whole. This morning we sang a song that fit right into, are we seeking? Are we coming into the call that God has given to us? And I didn't bring my songbook up. I think it was the one John had picked. That there's God's call for us to come to him and our lives being according to what he has planned. Praying always. Are we in that state today? And I want to encourage all of us that if we are not, that's what God's speaking to me. That I turn my heart always to him. Always. Luke 5 verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face. Here's that picture again of falling on his face. He's seeking his God. He's willing to do what it takes. He's falling on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, if you want to do this, you can make me clean. Did Jesus turn him away? No. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And 2 weeks later he was healed? No, immediately. Immediately he was healed. The leprosy departed. We just came across where Naaman's leprosy left. It's a miracle. God still, these are pictures from the Old Testament and then coming into the New, where Jesus was willing to heal all that were sick. And I'm encouraged that he's willing to help all of us. If we recognize that we are sick, we need help. And he's willing, if we seek him, we besought him. How does that look if I besought him? And I keep hearing this phrase that prayer does change things. But my pushing and shoving does not normally change things. But prayer does change things. Are we waiting upon the Lord? Do I enjoy praying? These are questions I ask myself. Do I enjoy bringing all my cares to him? Instantly, always praying. Or do I not know that he cares? Do I know that he truly cares? He cares for me. He wants my words. He wants me to talk to him. When I'm by myself, when you're by yourself, do you enjoy talking to God, your Father? Do you enjoy those quiet times? Do you tell him everything? The things you're feeling, the hard things you're facing, the challenges. Does he see your heart yielded and open for him to speak into your life when there are things he wants to change in you? Is there a surrendered attitude in our hearts that he can truly speak to us? And we can hear him. Do we have a hunger and thirst that God would teach us today and show us the way? Because we are waiting. We are those today that are waiting upon the Lord. We're desiring him to work, but he wants us to cooperate with him, with his word. Do I enjoy when he does want me to move, to yield whatever he asks of me? Do I seek him first? Do I go ask someone else, what should I do here? Do I seek God first? These are challenges that I've been pondering in my own heart. Do I seek first the kingdom? With all my heart, with all my heart, praying always with all my heart. God wants everything. God doesn't want to keep some of those papers in that funnel and plugging what he wants to do through my life. I was amazed that I couldn't hear any water when Judah poured it in the first time, but the second time it just flowed through. A beautiful picture of the willingness of God to work through me. But when it comes to God working day by day in me, can he truly do that and cleanse those wickednesses, those things that hinder him from working through me? Can we all put our name and still besought the Lord always? Praying always. Can you put your name there and besought the Lord always? Let's turn back to Isaiah 40 again. I would like to touch here again on verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But then I'd like to go on in chapter 41. Keep silence before me. what we have been talking about, the Lord, praying always, seeking Him first, being surrendered. But here Isaiah was saying, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. God is still calling today for people to surrender everything to Him. And if we look here at they, can we put our name there? They that wait upon the Lord. Would my name fit there? Are we waiting on the Lord? Let's turn to Jude yet for a closing scripture. Jude verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. There's a promise after this. But praying in the Holy Ghost, come forth here. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others, safe with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. God is able to keep us from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's seek Him first and always turn to prayer. Lord bless you.